Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so thank you for coming back to my channel yet again. And in this video I'm going to muse about the possibility of Ireland reuniting. Of course, Ireland was divided somewhat by the Government of Ireland Act 1920 and the Parliament of Northern Ireland met in May 1921. So when you regard partition as being 2021, the Irish Free State formally established on the 6th of December 1922, transmogrified into the Republic, which formally began on Easter Sunday, 1949. Now, of course, Brexit actually drove Ireland further apart because on New Year's Day, 1973, both the Irish Republic and Northern Ireland, being part of the United Kingdom, acceded to the European Economic Community, as then was, later became the European Community, now the European Union. But that 2016 poll led to the United Kingdom, therefore including Northern Ireland, withdrawing from the EU in early 2020. And here we are 4 years on. Now, the Labour government ushered into office at Westminster, but they say they do not intend to attempt to bring the UK back into the United Kingdom. The Liberal Democrats said they would like to do so eventually, presumably they held a referendum first. But, you know, for the foreseeable future, there's no possibility of the UK rejoining the EU. It might happen in 10 or 20 years. But, you know, Catholics are a majority in Northern Ireland, and there's a strong correlation between being a Catholic and being a nationalist. You know, what is it? Correlation does not equal predation. So of Catholics in Northern Ireland vote for non-nationalist parties. For example, the Alliance Party, maybe the Unionist Party, who else? The Alliance Party, as I started saying, is neutral on whether Northern Ireland remain in the United Kingdom or be merged into the Republic. But the majority of Alliance voters said that they did prefer the UK. Now the majority of them say they would prefer the Republic. They're a Europhile party, and the SNP was from its foundation in the early 70s. Sinn Féin, that's the main nationalist party in Northern Ireland, used to be Eurosceptic. It's only about the millennium they changed their tune. I mean, loathsome that they were at least a bit consistent on separatism. There's no point leaving the United Kingdom to then join an even wider entity, an even more alien entity. You know, Northern Ireland, Republic of Ireland have an awful lot in common with Scotland, Wales and England, but rather little in common with like Lithuania or Bulgaria. Anyway, So you think that nationalists being just behind unionists in Northern Ireland might want to say, let's have that border poll now, because unionists are something like 42% of the population, nationalists about 40%. A lot of people don't say they're nationalist or unionist or just refuse to answer. But, you know, if we take that, say, roughly 18% of the population who are, say they're neutral or don't answer, and give that slight 2% lead of unionists, you know, and then assume that about 10% or about 10 percentage points are unionists and the rest are nationalists, you know, the unionists have maybe a 4 percentage point advantage. But in a referendum campaign, if the nationalists run a good campaign and they have good turnout, they'd win. The unionists run a poor campaign and have low turnout, they'd lose. But I mean, Leo Varadkar, formerly Taoiseach of the Republic of Ireland, that's Prime Minister if you're not Irish, and he said, well, I want nationalism to win border poll by a hair's breadth. I want us to win convincingly, like say 55% or something. And then people say, oh, it's not a blip. Yeah, we don't want a large discontented unionist minority in Northern Ireland whose unacceptance of merging into the Republic would be a big problem that would separate for decades. Just as long as there was a resentful nationalist minority in Northern Ireland for a century. And that was a major headache for Northern Ireland, the whole of the UK, the Republic of Ireland, and so forth. But temperatures have cooled very considerably. There's not that aggro. Nobody's been killed in political violence in Northern Ireland for decades. Well, not decades, sorry, for several years. I mean, I remember my childhood when it was like a weekly occurrence, no exaggeration. And that's in a place with only 1.5 million people. So you'd think that Sinn Féin would be banging the drum for that. Their name means ourselves alone because they were xenophobic. Ask the Irish, not the Scots, not the Welsh, not the English. Brits out. So a racist slogan, especially bearing in mind that a majority of people in Northern Ireland were of Scots, English, Welsh descent, and really emphasised that. That was their identity. So they were also sectarian, involved in the sectarian murders in the 70s and 80s, just like the Loyalist terrorist groups, although Sinn Féin never actually banned Protestants from joining. And they had had a few Protestant prominence, prominent Protestants of the early 20th century. And then they do now. They're not sectarian anymore, I don't think. So you'd think that they would demand this. And yes, the political parties in the Republic of Ireland are also very circumspect. Notably, Sinn Féin's the only party which straddles the border, seeks electoral representation in Northern Ireland and indeed in the Republic. And the largest party in Northern Ireland, not just the largest nationalist party, which is why Michelle O'Neill, she's the first minister of Northern Ireland. It was a sick joke when she said violence against women and girls is an emergency. Now, violence against women and girls obviously is a serious matter and no laughing matter. But when her party committed so much of the violence against women, girls, boys, men, for decades. But I'm glad they've matured in this regard anymore. This is the only All-Ireland party. So Mary Lou MacDonald, a Dubliner, she's in charge of the party in the Republic. But they're opposed as left-wing and one on economics, right-wing and the other. So they're completely self-contradictory, illogical, hypocritical, and so forth. So they're all things to all men. They probably regard that as a sexist statement, you know, that this common adage. Does the Republic of Ireland actually want Northern Ireland? Because the Republic of Ireland, we're very prosperous, we're thriving, we don't have significant problems, it's wonderful. We're so attractive that a lot of people want to immigrate. Remember in 98, Radio Telefish Éireann saying, new multiracial Ireland, and I scoffed it at the time. I remember going around Dublin in 98, about one in 100 people would be white, is much higher, might be 10% of the population. And obviously some of the whites, minority whites, Spanish, Romanian, Polish, Lithuanian, and so on. So Republic of Ireland actually is a multiracial country now, particularly Dublin. So lots of people want to come because our country is just so magnificent, so highly successful. But could that be spoiled if Northern Ireland were to join? Northern Ireland is still subsidized from Great Britain under, the Barnett formula. Republic of Ireland have to foot the bill. But actually, we're a very rich country. We could afford that. And maybe if that happened, then the Republic of Ireland could join NATO. One of the many arguments not doing so, we can't do that while the British Army is in Northern Ireland. That's the point we spent a pittance on defence in the Republic. But one of the many stumbling blocks is really stinginess. In the Irish Republic, despite being very able to afford it, we don't have publicly funded health care. I mean, certainly since the 80s, we have medical cards. You know, children, is it pensioners, people on low incomes, they have a medical card entitle them to free medical treatment. And GPs, some of their money comes from how many patients on medical cards they've got on their books. How much you have to pay, at like sort of 40 euros, 50 euros, like that, to see the GP if you don't have a medical card. So that's most of the population, about 2/3 of the population have to pay. I remember Colm Eastwood, leader of the Social Democratic and Labour Party, said that, you know, his mother saying, very nauseous though I am not paying 40 quid or whatever it is to see the doctor. So a nation once again, but only if it costs under £40. So that's how much value people ascribe to that. The staggering thing was before even the Brexit referendum of 2016, the majority of Catholics in Northern Ireland said they were happy in the United Kingdom, would vote to stay in the United Kingdom, even if they voted the SDLP, and even 23% of Sinn Féin voters would vote for that. One of the fascinating things is the denominational difference. See, Scotland, majority Protestant. I know religion is not very important to people in Scotland. You know, maybe like 40% of people call themselves Protestant, maybe 20% call themselves Catholic, a few Muslims and so on, a lot of people non-religious, atheist or whatever. But Protestants in Scotland were more separatist than Catholics in Northern Ireland. When it used to be a strong correlation, if you're Protestant, you're unionist. Not in every case, but in a high majority of cases. Yeah, that's part of your identity. Stay in the United Kingdom and how that's shifted. So I don't think Northern Ireland will ever vote to join the Republic of Ireland. I could be mistaken. It's less unlikely than it used to be. Thank you for watching my channel. So goodbye, everybody.